signatures either in person or on electronically. You can start whenever you'd like.
All right, well, let's go ahead and call this meeting to order. So I'm calling the August 19, 2020 meeting. And let's begin with the roll call. Angel?
Okay, Chair Harwell?
Present.
Vice Chair Farnsworth?
Present.
Secretary Freeman?
He's here on that product, okay.
Commissioner Dorge?
Present.
Okay.
Commissioner Stevenson?
Present.
Commissioner Granberry?
Here.
Commissioner Joslin?
Present.
Commissioner Smith? Commissioner Sullivan?
Here.
Commissioner Crumbo?
Present.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and then I'm going to waive the Open Meeting Act announcement stated in our on our agenda. So let's move to our first approval item, and that is the approval of minutes. We've got minutes for as late as July 22, 2020 joint meeting, the July 15, 2020 the AOPE meeting, the July 15, 2020 FAP committee meeting, the July 15, 2020 DNA vision meeting, and the March 11, 2020 audit committee meeting. So I'd like to do is put this into one motion for approval. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
And second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye. We will do a roll call vote. Angela?
Chair Harwell?
I approve.
Vice Chair Farnsworth?
Thanks.
Approve.
Secretary Freeman?
Approved.
Commissioner Dorge?
Approved.
Commissioner Stevenson?
Approved.
Commissioner Granberry?
Approved.
Commissioner Joslin?
Approved.
Commissioner Smith?
Approved.
Okay. Commissioner Sullivan?
Approved.
Commissioner Crumbo?
Approved.
Thank you.
Okay.
First, the next item is the chair's report. I've got nothing to report, but I would like to thank Doug and his team again for all their hard work, and also thank all of our board members for their hard work. It's a very difficult, interesting time, and with those who are at the airport today, I wish I could be with you, and hope the next meeting we all will be in person together. And that's all I've got. I just want to be struck. Thank each and every one of you. Doug, I turn it over to you for your report.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My comments and the entire electronic meeting are in accordance with the Governor Lee's executive orders that he has issued and extended. And so we will continue this as instructed by the different executive orders. The first thing that I wanted to bring up with commissioners is starting on September 1st, we are dividing the airport in two. And so it will be separated for 3 years approximately until we finish the center portion of the airport. So you will see us over the next 10 days begin the advertisements that'll go, and then on September 1st, basically, when you come in the front of the airport, you will have access to the different ticket counters. But once you go through security for your airline, you will not be able to go from the AB side to the CD side. So you're going to start seeing some ads popping up on us, and to inform our passengers. You know, we've been talking about it for about 3 years, and so we have a good sign plan, good advertising plan to let people know what we're about to encounter. On the employment side, can we move the pictures now?
Oh. Thank you.
On the employment story, we are started off well in July, and we have leveled off since Nashville went back into the phase two in terms of the total number of passengers. There's a lot of information on this slide, but But what we're really trying to track is on the very top of it, you can see what FY19 looked like. In the middle of it, the blue line is what we budgeted for. The green line is the lower end, what some economists, InterVistas and Bank of America are saying could happen to us. And so we're looking at that as a staff, as a funnel. And so as our employments go, so will our revenue go. And you will see some updated metrics over the next couple months coming out of the staff and as we track our performance. But we're doing okay, but you can see right now in the month of August on the chart, you know, we're averaging about 9,300. Well, in order to hit the budget, you have to average a little over 15,000. So we had planned hopefully on a level period, but a little bit higher than we're seeing right now, with it possibly taking off in the January time period. So you'll get very familiar with these slides as we go forward over the next couple months. We did have an announcement with Boutique Air has received an essential air service grant. They will be resuming flights between Nashville and Muscle Shoals, Alabama on August 23rd. Two flights a day, Sunday through Friday, and once on Saturday. These essential air services are critical to other smaller airports trying to get to big markets like Nashville and get their passengers going, and so we're excited to see them join our team. Although we're down on passengers, one thing that we're trying to build back up is our international service. Right now we have none because of the COVID, everybody was shut down, but we've been in discussions with British Airways and they're evaluating the 20 plus destinations that they served in the United States, and they're trying to decide which ones they continue to serve in the future when they're able to come back. So in our discussions with them, as the commissioners are aware, back in the 2018 time period, we approved an incentive package for them, and that's to last until May of 21. They stopped flying here in March of 2020, and so when we calculate what we had remaining for incentives, that would have been about $579,000 left. So we have been talking to them that we can continue to provide what we already committed up to $500,000 to have them, you know, coming back to Nashville. And I believe the city slash state is looking at $250,000. So we're in the hunt with them. We have showed them what we've already invested to get them here. And we hope to see them back here later this year coming back to Nashville. Additionally, with the approval that the commissioners gave, it's our we have decided to try to waive the $5 for an inspection station fee that we were charging every passenger that came in to try to incentivize all the other ones that we had to the Caribbean and different parts of Canada and such to come back as well. That'll save the airlines a little bit of money as well. And then we are drafting a new policy that we will bring to commissioners in October for review and discussion. So our previous one has approaching expiration, and so it's time for us to publish a new one in the 2020 time period. So you'll see us bringing back that to you in the very near future.
Doug, is our commercial kitchen, is it mothball?
It is close to mothball. So 121 is still there. Margaret's team is talking to them, but obviously they're not selling any food, and there's a good potential that they may not survive and make it. And so we will really go into professionally mothball it if that's the case. That'll be a challenge because if British Airways does come back, they're going to want to serve food. And so they don't want to haul the food over here from London to serve it on the way back. So we'll have to work on that. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
Biggest questions that I've got people asking me, I know there's a lot of uncertainty, everything has been going on, but what is the earliest that they would be starting service? Earliest possible?
I think that really depends on the two governments of United Kingdom and the U.S. federal government. Our air service team would tell you that if you go to the British Airways website, they're selling tickets in October. So they're hoping that they get permission to turn back on in October. If not, they'll have to refund those ticket prices and start maybe in November. So we're hoping it could be October, but we don't know what kind of additional restrictions will be placed on any international flights arriving into Nashville.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to, we have one item for board to consider for approval. Because we didn't have committee meetings this time, we were not able to hold a GAOPE committee meeting, but I did talk to the chair, Freeman, about this issue. This is an amendment to a baggage handling system design contract that the commissioners have already seen once before. We do have a baggage handling master plan that we're operating off of, and we had started implementing portions of that master plan to the tune of the $390,967 that you see on the left. And we would like to exercise an amendment to that contract for $160,000 of additional software programming to keep up with the master plan. That takes the dollar amount above the CEO's limit of $500,000 by $51,000. And we do have funding for this. $500,000 of it is coming out of that airport facility fund that you see at the bottom. And 9% is on the baggage fees that we already are charging on the airlines. It's the recommendation of the staff to the commissioners that you approve this amendment to make these software enhancements to our baggage handling system.
Okay. And Commissioner Freeman, do you have anything to add?
I don't have anything to add other than Dylan went through a thorough explanation, and I'm sorry our committee wasn't able to meet, but I think that this is something we need to approve, and I would make that motion to amend the cost by $160,547.
Okay, great. We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, let's do a roll call. Vote. All in favor, say aye. Or Angel, if you would, go through the list, please.
Chair Harwell?
I approve.
Vice Chair Farnsworth?
Approved.
Secretary Freeman?
Approved.
Commissioner Dorge?
Approved.
Commissioner Stevenson?
Approved.
Commissioner Granberry?
Approved.
Commissioner Joslin?
Approved.
Commissioner Smith?
Approved.
Commissioner Sullivan?
Approved.
Commissioner Crumbo?
Approved.
Okay.
Yeah, that's everybody, so the motion carries.
All right, thank you all.
We got a lot of information items, so I'll let you roll with those.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, commissioners, for the approval. We do have 10 information items that I'm going to run through with you. They really cover all the different committees. Top one will be GAOPE related. The next four below that will be the FAP committee. One vision update with the multiple slides, and then auditing, and just an appointment there on the retirement side of the house that I'll go over with the commissioners. Reference to the John C. Toon, they have received over 200 inputs to the survey that went out. They're downloading all that data and assembling it so that we can see what what the tenants have thought. We did have an update meeting late, early last week, where they discussed what was some of the results of the survey. We'll be coming to the commissioners with that information. They've also finished their market analysis of comparable airports. You'll see that on the next slide in a minute. And then they're starting to develop the facility requirements for the areas damaged by the tornado, drafting up alternatives. And as they get closer on that, I expect that they'll give the staff an update. We'll be coming back to commissioners with updates, as you can see on the very bottom of that, for the September 9th GAOPE committee. We'll lay out some alternatives for our commissioners to consider at that point, and then we'll continue over the next month or so to gain approval. This slide shows the comparable airports based on the seven criteria used to select them off to the side. When Aeroplex does come into town and present to the commissioners, if there's any questions about these airports, they'll be glad to answer any of them. The staff has looked through those, and they are a good representation of, quote, our peers, based on the aircraft, the runway, the number of ops, proximity, to a metro area. And the only difference is they've already got air traffic control towers, and ours is under construction. So it's a good list that they'll be showing us as they develop the alternatives, what these airports have done and what they recommend for John C. Toon. As we go through the next area in terms of updates, this is a quick update on concession sales. You can see like the passenger employment numbers have leveled off over the last couple weeks, so is concession sales. On the right side of the screen, you see our sales per employment is down versus last year. We do have a couple more concepts that are open, but they're more on the retail side than the food and beverage. And so we're continuing to work on the concessions program. As we develop metrics for commissioners to have closer and better understandings, but also to help the staff make bigger decisions, you'll see that same funnel-shaped chart that we develop for employments, but on all kinds of things like concessions and parking as we go forward. And just as an example, in FY19, our average sales per week was 1.95 million. So when you look at 627,000 on these bar charts that you're looking at today, you can see how far we are from getting back into the big business of this. And a lot of that has to do with the employments and the offerings that we have for our customers. So we have some challenges as we go forward.
Doug, can I ask a question, please?
Yes, sir. Commissioner Freeman.
Looking at those concession sales and hearing your explanation of what the norm used to be, what kind of demands or requests are we getting from vendors on adjustments, or is that process started?
Yes.
What are we looking at there?
Yes, sir. We have already granted the minimum annual guarantee relief. We discussed that a couple months ago. And so that has been provided to Fraport, and they have in turn provided that down to the concessionaires. So we are collecting rent and percentage of revenue right now. It's just the sales are not there to bring in a lot of money to the airport authority. So we're doing everything that we can right now to support the concessions. The bigger challenge is all those different shops that either want to move out or rebuild into a new concept, their access to capital has shrunk during this pandemic right now. So that's causing some concern, because nobody really knows when we're going to get out of it, and then how fast a recovery are we going to have from there. So that's a challenge for us to deal with, but we are dealing with them and all of our other tenants that have challenges. We are trying to accommodate them as much as possible.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. And the other one too that we're watching on, I know that if you watch the federal, you know, fighting that goes on between the Democrats and Republicans on whether or not there'll be another CARES Relief Act prior to this latest stalemate. There was going to be another one, and there was going to be $10 billion for airports again. That will go a long way to helping us survive longer. They're now in discussions at the federal level on a package that doesn't include any more relief right now for airports. So you'll be seeing more emails from me as we see the political environment change over the next couple months as we head into the elections. Okay, moving on. In terms of the brokerage services, this is something that we have not competitively solicited in many years. On the background side, you can see where Willis Towers Watson and their partner have been in place since October of 2012. We could not find how that firm was selected back in the day, so we issued an RFP, received multiple proposals, three firms went to interview, and the selection team selected Marsh, and largest firm in the United States, and we're starting to work with them for a transition plan where they'll take over our brokerage services, and so we're in the negotiating stage there. The dollar amount is not a lot right now, less than $250,000, we hope, but we'll come back to commissioners and update you as that moves forward. But as just part of trying to update all the policies, procedures, and procurements that we committed to a couple years ago, this is another effort that we've gone back out to the business environment and competitively selected somebody. So I think this is a positive for us. On the retirement and OPEB investment accounts, this is good news in the sense that how we've been working with our Wells Fargo to help us with managing both of these accounts and the returns that we've gotten by the quarters and by the year to date. Marge and I were in discussions as we were going through the end of the FY20 year, and we elected to make our full contribution to the FY20 retirement and OPEB's accounts, which shows you what I have highlighted, that we are now 104% on the retirement and 106% on the OPEB, the other post-employment benefits that the employees will receive. The reason that we did that is, one, we had the money available in the FY20 budget to make those contributions, but two, this will most likely save us $10 million in the current survival budget in FY21, because we will not have to make a large contribution to keep these plans funded, just the bare minimum, which Marge believes that it'll be somewhere between $1 million and $2 million. So we made the investment using last year's money to save money in this year's budget. So I think that's a plus for us. On the Treasury side of the house, this is one I'm always proud of because as commissioners know that have been following us for the last few years, this is a huge turnaround. We are now 99.4% invested. As you look down on the chart on the right side, the second to last bullet shows that for this quarter, the fourth quarter of 20, we made almost $5 million. The quarter prior, the previous year, we made the $1.8 million. And I was proud of the $1.8 million that we made. So that's the big difference there, is having $1 billion to invest versus a couple hundred million. But also, commissioners will recall, in the FY18 year, we made almost nothing on those investments because we were all in cash. So I thank you for your support and push to get us fully invested at the 99.4% level. In terms of our treasury report, the other good news is here, as commissioners will recall, we had 78 to 79 bank accounts at the time. We have closed 48 bank accounts since March 2019 when we got our director of treasury here. That has saved us a little over $13,000 in fees, and they continue to do a good job on managing those accounts there. And again, our investment policy allows us to keep up to 8% cash, which I talked about on the previous slide, and we only have 0.57% of all of our money in cash right now. So we're doing a better job of managing that on a day-to-day basis. Okay, now I'm gonna run through a series of four slides to not mess with you on your brain, but this is complicated. And so I'm gonna give you updates to the B&A vision that basically takes four steps to get through. And just to highlight it to you, and we can come back next month at the full vision committee meeting if you have any questions. And so the four movements that we're gonna run you through right here on this slide in terms of the outline. But overall, going into this next discussion, on September 25th of 2019, about a year ago, the commissioners approved an adjustment to the budget because we were cutting back too much and you wanted to make sure we fulfilled the entire vision. So our budget is $1.384 billion, and so that's what it is as of today. And we're going to show you a couple tweaks that we want you to consider here. So the first one is, if you remember, the 1.384. So we have $3.5 million, $3.65 million in our FY21 budget to do the terrazzo, because commissioners had asked a few months ago, since we have a low passenger number, is there anything you can do to accelerate B&A vision? And we had that money in the capital program to do the terrazzo, and we are doing terrazzo and carpet as fast as you can imagine. If you go look at C concourse, you'll be amazed, and we're starting on B concourse right now. So all we would like to do is, the first movement is to take the $3.65 million out of the capital budget and put it into the terminal lobby project to raise that one to $466 million, and just adding 3.65 to that account, and also changing the B&A vision from 1.384 to 1.387. So the money is just moving from one account to another. So that's a starting recommendation.
So Doug, the 466,450 as adjusted is 13,986 over budget, which means you also ate up the contingency that was in the original budget. So the 13 million comes out of your program budget.
It's gonna be two slides from now.
Okay, all right.
So the first movement is to take the 365 and add it to that account and raise it where you see on the bottom yellow, going from 4628.
But the terminal lobby and arrival facility was the last big number that y'all were sweating.
Yeah, we're sweating, still sweating, but right now we're only sweating to 13 million. We're gonna solve that today.
I thought that's not a hard number, Robert.
We're getting close there.
All right.
It's hard. It's getting close.
I like it. Set in concrete, right?
I like it that way too.
So the first movement is to adjust that budget by just moving it from one account to another. The second movement is as two accounts. Oh, so we want to do two programs that make great sense for us right now, and that is to put in the redundant water lines that we need. We only have one line from Metro Water to the airport right now, and a redundant power feed to the airport from the NES. And so on the bottom of the chart, you see that it's $4.5 million for power and $5.5 million for the water line. That $10 million was going to be in the FY21 budget, but we had to cut it because of the COVID. But it still makes sense. We would be kicking ourselves if we don't do it while we're about to tear up all these roads out here, if we don't do it now. So the recommendation from the staff is to add that to the roadway project to change its budget on the bottom of the chart from 153.5 by 10 million to 163.5, and then to take that out of contingency and reduce contingency from 34 million to 24 million. And so we think that's a good prudent move to make at this time. And that leads us to the next chart.
Hey, well, Doug, on that,
yeah,
you haven't bid that road work yet, so you're still carrying a project contingency.
$4,320,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought we redid the power a couple of years ago. I thought we busted that out because there was one source coming in.
So this is a truly redundant pathway that we would have. We have two power feeds from it, and yet this gives us a redundant, a truly separate pathway. Right now we share the same.
Both feeds from NES come in and hit the same substation, and so that's a weak area versus having them come in without having to hit the
system. Didn't we do something with that a couple of years
ago?
We
did.
We had taken one step toward this a couple of years ago.
And we've been replacing all of your
switch gears.
That's been about 8 or 9 different projects to this point. So this one is smart to go ahead and do it now. We believe we have a comfort level that we can take it from contingency now. And if we have to, we can come back in and ask the board at a later date to give us this $10 million back, because this is an add-on above vision. But right now, we could fund it out of vision contingency. Then the third movement is there are two projects out there that are completed, and that is the Parking and Transportation Center, and it came in 8, and I'm talking from the bottom, and it's highlighted in yellow on the chart, but the Parking and Transportation Center came in $8.92 million under budget, and the enabling projects that we have been working on over the last couple years came in $2.53 million under budget. So those two added together is $11.45. We want to take those cost and move those into contingency. So we just reduced contingency to 24.2, but we want to add 11.45 from these projects that came in under budget to build the contingency back up to 35.6.
So you got 35.6 in the program, you got 4.3 in the roadway, and 2.7 in Garage B. So you add all that up, you've got about 45 million or so?
About 40. I'm gonna make one more change before we add it all.
Okay.
Okay. So this is taking the two and adding it to contingency. That takes us to 35.6 in the project side of the house. Then the last movement would be that 13 million that Commissioner Granberry eagle-eyed on the first chart there. So the terminal lobby IAF, that's why we're shutting down the middle of the airport. That project is right now running over budget to the tune of about 13.9. So we want to adjust that budget from 466 plus that 13.9 to bring it up to 480, and then reduce that contingency again from 35.66 that we just raised it to by the 13.9. to show us that we have 21.67 remaining in the project contingency. And then, as Commissioner Granberry was pointing out, there is still $4 or $8 million in the individual projects, or that is available. So the total contingency is about $29,670 that we have to make it through the next, you know, 2.5 to 3 years. So it's not a lot, but, you know, we feel like we're doing a pretty good job of managing this right now. So I'm open to answer any questions. There's no easy way to go through this, but we wanted to step through it so that you all could, you know, see how the shell game is moving to try to let you know really where it is, and breaking it out into the four separate movements hopefully will allow us to go back to this one chart as we move forward.
Robert, what was your budget contingency that's now zero on the terminal lobby and IAF? What was that number originally?
I don't recall the number off the top of my head. I believe it's in the 15 to 20 million range.
Okay, so you add that plus the additional. So that was always, a year ago, your biggest exposure.
Right.
And you feel pretty good about, even though it's not 100% hard, but you've already burned through $40 million worth of contingency.
Yes, sir.
So you're getting closer.
Well, we've gotten the designs are pretty far along. We bought four of the six packages. The fifth one comes to you next month. And that'll be about, it's trending at about $180 million, so it'll be the largest of the packages. And we've actually seen some softening in the construction market, so that's a little optimism. So it's at least moving in a favorable direction for us now from that perspective versus the previous couple of years. It's not as favorable.
At next month's B&A Vision, you will review, consider, and hopefully approve, I think it's GMP 506. So that's the $180 million out of that $480 right there. So that we are, I will do a percentage for you, but we are as close to being bought out with one more final package coming to you. And that these numbers, these adjustments are, Robert and Tracy are both aware of the approximate price that the CGMP 506 is coming to us. So
hypothetically, you've got the roadway and then you've got the garage B.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got a little bit of program contingency, then you've got left and you've got the individual project. What's plan B if we got to build it? So where's the money come from if we burn through 100% of our contingencies?
We would have to borrow it from Marge in the short-term credit facility, and we would have to then go back and adjust how do we pay that off in the final bond offering that we end up making to close out the provision. So. We do, I mean, we...
Sure, you're thinking about it.
Are thinking about it, and Marge is running two new spreadsheets for us. One is to track the existing bonds to make sure we all know we don't add anything in extra, which lets us go, but also these budget drills that we're doing. So we should have more, a clearer picture of that risk. And she has, Landry McBrown is already working multiple rates and charges models for Marge, but also helping Margaret do some analysis on different business deals she's looking at as well. So, okay. So those are movements that we would like to make happen, and we will come back and see if there's any second thoughts with commissioners next month when we do this. But we'll plan on using these adjustments to present to you at the September meeting. In terms of fraud reporting, it's never good to have anything like that going on in an organization, but I am happy that when this team of executives took over a year or so ago, we wrote our first ethics and conflict of interest policy. We have improved ourselves to some degree, and now as a result of this recent investigation by Mr. Harden into some fraud activity, we have developed a new or an updated, improved ethics and conflict of interest policy. The employee that was subject to this investigation, we terminated. So we have gotten some good things out of here. That employee is no longer a part of our organization. We have a new ethics and conflict of interest policy. We have also tied it to our procurement policy, so that contractors that win jobs out here have the responsibility to report any employee that asks them for any type of benefit. And then we now publish our content, our red flag number on our website. So we're getting better and stronger, I think, in this area on a daily basis. In terms of internal audits, FY20 was a good year for us. We've gotten 5 of the 6 done. One more is still in works, and Lisa and Tiffany and the team, and I guess that is the team, have done 28 audits of the concession or reviews of concession programs out there. So I think we're doing a good job of keeping up with that. And then the results of our auditing and new emphasis on the corrective actions as we go along has kept our trend of keeping the findings down. And that goes a long way to not only Lisa and Tiffany's work and the Commissioner Sullivan on the audit committee, their support, but the executive staff works this very hard to make sure their departments are closing findings as soon as possible. Going forward, our audit plan for next year is pretty aggressive, and one of them is already ongoing, and we will update the audit committee as we go forward with the audit plan. And then our external auditor, Commissioner Sullivan, I know has been in meetings and phone calls. This is the schedule of how we got to Plant Moran as our external auditor. You can see their contact list off to the right. I believe all the commissioners have received a copy of the letter, and you are more than welcome to contact them with any concerns that you may have. They have already done their interim field work here for our annual audit. They'll be here in force next week to begin the year-end field work, and then we should have draft statements in September, a final statement in October, and the Board of Commissioners will receive a formal presentation by Plant Moran in the November time period. So I think we're off on a good stead there. Because of the pandemic, the FAA did not come to us and do their normal on-site 3 to 4 day inspection of the airport, but they did a virtual inspection of the airport, which is primarily hundreds and hundreds of records that they review as part of the Part 139 evaluation. We're happy that they found zero paperwork issues or identified any shortfalls in how we're running the airport in terms of the FAA compliance side of the house. TSA audit will be in November of this year to see how we comply with the 1542 regulations, and you'll get an update on that. But this is a good letter to have come in from the FAA saying you have no outstanding issues that need to be corrected.
And that's just for this airport, not John Toon.
Correct. The state does John Toon because it's not a commercial airport. If it was a commercial airport, then the FAA would do this inspection. Well, we get a same letter from the TDOT Aeronautics telling us of how Toon's doing it.
Well, we get a year-round inspection out there since they're on site, right?
Yeah, that's
they don't miss
I
much.
I won't say that's a negative, but they're real close. So anything that goes on at Toon, they're able to see that. And that's okay, we're not worried about that. On the terms of the retirement committee, I did attend last, I think it was a week or two ago, the retirement committee, July 28th. Marge is the chair of that committee, and since Curry Spray departed for another opportunity, I nominated Gail LaRose, our chief administrative officer, to fill that position, and so that's just a copy of the updated letter appointing her to that committee. And so that was a really good committee. Marge runs a tight ship, and it was good to hear how well Spargo's thinks we're doing with those OPEB and retirement accounts. So that was well worth the time. And with that, Mr. Chairman, that is all of the updates. We did send you some backup information that is behind this slide that you can review at your, any of the commissioners can review at your leisure. And if you have any questions, I would be glad to answer those. But that's all I have in terms of updates.
So is there anything that you think we covered in the staff report, the informational items? I think they're even covered today. And I didn't see anything in there, but I wanted to ask.
Yeah, we have gone through this, staff and I, when we do our pre-reviews, so I don't think that there's anything that you will find in there that's alarming. If it would have been, we would have brought it forward for everybody's review. So I think it's just more or additional detail that you may want to know about. I will say that in the section there, when you get to slide 41 and beyond, that's the commercial development area that Margaret's team has been working very hard on some commercial property deals. We're just trying to get those to the finish line, and she has a few that you'll see in the next weeks ahead. So I think we've never really done that. I know that's been a challenge laid out by Commissioner Freeman and Granberry, and so we've accepted that, and I think we have some really good deals coming forward on the non-aeronautical and aeronautical side of the house that'll bring in revenue to the airport as in the future. So that I would say stay tuned for those updates. They're coming soon.
Okay, great. And are there any other items we need to cover today?
None from the staff perspective. Any other issues from commissioners that you want to bring up?
All right. Well, with that, another efficient meeting, and I appreciate and thank everyone for the time. Have a great rest of the afternoon. This meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Great job, Chairman.